episode 151 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast of Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics. So if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Sandy, Donna, and Elizabeth. Recently, Outlander Travel led a group trip to Ireland in celebration of our 5 years in business. Elizabeth and Lindsay led a group of their clients around the country, the driver guide, and we are excited to get to ask them all about it this week. So let's get started. So welcome, you guys, and I guess the obvious question is, why Ireland?
So I'm not going to tell the story again because I've told it several times. Just flip back in our episodes to when we first talked about this trip. But basically, when I first started my business, I kicked it off with a Guinness. And so that was sort of the idea, was to go see where Guinness was made. And we did that. So many people have asked me why we didn't go to Scotland. And I think we're going to talk about Scotland next week. But it was a tight race. But Ireland won out, mainly because I've never been there before.
Yeah, that's so, what I was going to say.
It was my first time there. And I've been to Scotland before, so.
So when you say you kicked it off with a Guinness, meaning you had a beer?
No, yes. I mean, yes, but we actually went to the Guinness storehouse. So the first day of the tour, we sort of tootled around Dublin, sort of did a casual city tour from the bus. So no getting off and getting on, just sort of, you know, look kids, Big Ben, Parliament kind of tour from the van. And then we ended up at the Guinness storehouse and got to... It's a self-guided tour through there, but it's definitely, you know, in the brewery tour circuit, one can argue that there, you know, if you're into craft beer, then places like Guinness or Coors or Heineken, the big players, may not be of much interest to you, but going to a huge brewery like this with an amazing history. And I've been to the Heineken tour in Amsterdam too, and equally worth seeing, just seeing the history of how it came to be. It's fascinating. And the Guinness storehouse is like five stories. Is that right, Lindsay? Was it five?
Yeah, it's like five. And it's so, like, I went a long, long time ago, and even it was like a brand new experience, even coming a second time, because the technological updates that they've done are incredible.
Yeah, like it's the interactive and
They really, really make it fun, because it is a topic that if you're not a beer aficionado, can maybe be not that exciting or sexy.
Well, I was going to ask that because of kids, right? Is it kid friendly?
I actually have to go back and correct something that Elizabeth said, because it's, in interest of full disclosure, it's not safe to say that we had a...
Yeah.
We had a lot of kids.
All right, Lindsay's going to make a song.
Okay, well... Let me stop for one second here.
What's the plural of Guinnesses? Can I?
When you first started Outlander, you kicked it off with a Guinness, meaning you had a Guinness beer.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Then you also kicked off this trip.
Yes.
Going to the Guinness. Okay, well, I was...
Parallel.
So confused.
It works both ways.
Yes.
So,
oh, wait, Donna, what were you saying?
So what kind of technological changes were there that you noticed?
Oh, my gosh. All of the screens and the, you know, the moving, the talking paintings, things like that. They just really stepped it into the 21st century, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, most beer tours you go on, I mean, even Heineken was, the only real technology was at the end where they showed you like 100 years of Guinness, of Heineken ads. Guinness has incorporated technology to where they have touch screens and like these moving paintings. They have a gallery of not even historic, like people, well, actors who are playing parts to talk about parts of the Guinness history. And honestly, I think that the Guinness storehouse is an important part of any trip to Dublin, she says, as an expert having now been once. But you must go because Guinness, the Guinness family built modern Dublin, really. they've rebuilt cathedrals. They've donated that money from that brewery and the livelihood that these people have had. They've built housing. They really are a huge part of modern Dublin. So it would actually be, you'd be missing out if you didn't go and see sort of what they built, and the museum, and we'll call it a museum because it isn't a live brewery anymore, is in the old original building. But that it's a complex. I mean, it's like IBM or, you know, it's like a complex. So, you only visit one building. And incidentally, even if you're completely bored by all the exhibits, which even my husband, who doesn't really drink beer, and the kids, you asked about the kids, there's stuff that the kids enjoyed. And because the interactive, they got to touch things and look at things, and they did enjoy some of the advertising, stuff.
My goodness.
Yeah. And, the fish on the, you know, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle, that old. Yeah.
You get a photo of yourself in one of the Guinness ads sent to your email address. That was really neat. And just to give you kind of an idea of what the upgrades were, the last time I was there, they had shelves and rows, and it was really fascinating because I like museums anyway, of like the old Guinness advertising mugs and things like that. The whole brand new ad area, that was all new compared to last time I was there, where they had the big life-size icons and the interactive area. It was just really well done. And I agree 100% with just, kids will love it. It's not an overly in-your-face beer. My only complaint, and it's a small one, is that there was really nothing in the gift shop that was like, I don't know. I kind of wanted something that was specifically...
There was a little wall... Yeah, there was a little wall that was like, these things are exclusive to this location. Really? And truly everything else you could find pretty much everywhere else. So
it's like the Coca-Cola.
Yeah. So I bought something off that wall and I consistently looked for it everywhere else and I didn't find it.
So did they have like, because I would look for like a Christmas ornament or something.
They do have Christmas ornaments. Now, was there one on that wall? I'm not sure. Lindsay, do you remember?
You didn't get me one as a souvenir.
There was over in that section, there were Christmas ornaments. But I kind of wanted a shirt that said, you know,
I survived the Guinness storehouse.
I survived the Guinness. I don't know.
I went to Guinness in Dublin and I've got this t-shirt. Yes.
I will say it is the largest Guinness store I've ever seen in my whole life. Like, there's so much stuff in there. I mean, if they make it, it's there. You can even get those glasses, the glasses that have the harp etched into the glass. Mm-hmm. And it's like raised. You can buy those there.
And I had chocolate.
A beer tasting at the end?
Yes. And in fact, it wasn't just a beer tasting at the end. So you get a ticket that you can cash in at a couple of different places. One of the places was basically a learn to pour a Guinness, because if you've ever pulled a Guinness before, it's called pulling a Guinness, not pouring. Then you know that it's actually an art form. And that's one of the things, you know, and the other thing that you hear is Guinness is better in Ireland. Like, you can't get a better Guinness than you get in Ireland. And I actually can attest to that now. I wasn't so sure when I was there, but then I came back to the US and I had one and I was like, oh no, actually better. But there's an art to the pull. And so they'll teach you how to do it and you pull your own Guinness. And so you can cash in your ticket for that, or you can go, upstairs. There was one other one, Lindsay. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, there was you could pull your own. And then I think there was like a bartender area. Tasting area. To taste different types of Guinness and different, but I got to tell you, I wasn't lying. Guinness is better there. And now I came home with an answer to this question that's been bothering me since my first trip to Ireland, was why it tastes better there. It's because the Guinness that's shipped here isn't made there. It's made somewhere else. It's made in a different country and the water's different. And that's why it doesn't taste as good.
I do have a tip that actually the Guinness that's made in the Caribbean is made in Jamaica, and the spices they add to it make it really, really good. So the next time you're in the Caribbean, try a Guinness and see how it is there.
That's spicy.
Yeah, that's, I hear that from a brewer here in North Carolina, a very well respected brewer. He said that the Caribbean.
That jerk Guinness, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, you know what? If I have to take one for the team and try it,
it tastes better.
I'll be in St. Lucia this month, so I can see Guinness.
Because anywhere, he said anywhere in the Caribbean, it's distributed out of the Jamaica.
So I have a confession. I'm not a Guinness fan.
Well, you will be.
Are you surprised?
So the other place that you can cash in your ticket is upstairs. And incidentally, you can pay cash upstairs as well. But on the fifth, it's the fifth floor, right, Lindsay?
The top floor.
They have a bar called the Gravity Bar. And
I think it's confusing because they skip a floor.
Oh.
They like, because they say
it's the
like
ground floor versus,
floors or something like that.
So the Gravity Bar is worth going, even if you skip the whole museum, which I don't recommend. The Gravity Bar is super cool because it's a circular bar. It doesn't spin, but it's circular and it's windows all the way around. I won't say 360 because there is a section that's blocked by a stairwell, but it's almost a full circular view of the city. And so you can sit up there and enjoy your Guinness or your water, or if you're under 18, your soda. They did, the kids got tickets as well, but they could not cash in for a beer. They had to cash in for a soda.
Could you take your kids' ticket?
Uh-huh.
A little double dip there.
Yeah, I'm not saying I did, but my son doesn't like soda, so why not? Don't want to waste it. And we actually had a gentleman with us, a very nice gentleman, a friend of Lindsay's, who was in a scooter, mobility scooter. And I have to say, the Guinness storehouse was extraordinary with him. Wouldn't you agree, Lindsay?
I really think that that's part of the Irish culture, is everyone is so extremely helpful and kind and friendly, and it's not a, I don't think it's in their nature to say, no, that's not possible, we're not going to help you, but they were fantastic, and he did get to have still a good experience, and I had a beer with him at the top, we had our Guinness together. He can really drink. He's experienced drinking. I'm not sure that I drank with him quite a bit on this trip, and I'm not sure that I could outdrink him.
I
found out you guys were going on this trip. I did a good amount of studying and looking around and talking, and Dublin is actually a very accessible city for those of our listeners who do have mobility concerns. I've got all the tips and tricks and ways to make Dublin accessible to you.
Yeah. Now she's got a fantastic scooter rental company too.
But I will say that there are still challenges, but one of the nice things that I noticed in the Gravity Bar was we were all sitting around a table that was quite far inside. We weren't at a window, and they said, no, sir. And they pushed people out of the way. So he had a perfect view out the window, and they were like, this is the best view. Like they took him right to the best view, which was nice for us. Cause then we sort of were like, oh really? That's but with a view of Christchurch and everything, it was really great. So I don't want to talk about Guinness for the whole 30 minutes, but
So tell me about the Book of Kells.
What, you mean there's more to Ireland?
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, there's beer everywhere, so let's not be clear. And we had some excellent beer. The Book of Kells do you know what it is?
I think I know what it is.
What do you think it is?
I think it's the Illuminated Manuscripts.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. The Gospels, yeah. And it's in this beautiful museum, and I'm going to be honest with you. I looked at the Book of Kells, and it's beautiful, but there's a lot of people standing around it, mm-hmm. and, you know, I don't do people very well. Oh. But to me, one of the best parts about that was the library that it's in. It's in if you look up the library at Trinity College, it's listed as one of the most beautiful libraries in the world, and I'm a bit of a library nerd. And it's one of those, like, old, old libraries with old, old books and libraries. Ladders that, you know, that move across.
You need to go to the Cathedral of Learning at Pitt.
Oh my Jesus, she didn't just do that to me.
No, please edit that out. The extra minute.
What, Delano? You were asking?
The Book of Kells, an illuminated manuscript?
Yes, it is.
And I have to say, like, that's another thing. This is, you know, just don't think you, because you go someplace once that, you know, I can never go back there again. That's a waste if I go back there again. This is my second visit to see the Book of Kells, and I think I got more out of it this time. I swear I'm probably hallucinating, but I think it was on a different page.
It might have been.
We'll take a picture.
You can't do that. But and everything had changed. Again, all the technology had been updated and all the things and the stories. And I learned so much more this time than I did last time I was there. There weren't as many people crushing in. But and I do think that the picture of Jesus in the Book of Kells, I'm probably going to get blamed for this, but It looked like Tyrion Lannister, and that's all I saw.
Really?
I didn't see that, just for the record.
I've got a bookmark that is the copy of, and it's here. I'll send a picture of it to you.
Maybe that could be our podcast photo.
But yeah. It's definitely, you know, I like old books as well, so it was definitely, but there's a lot, it's a small display case. It's probably about the size of my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's sort of filing around it, but it's kind of like a buffet line. I don't like those either. And somebody will elbow in because there's no real clear sense of motion as to how you're supposed to enter and exit the wheel of people. So I did my best to poke in, and my husband elbowed in and got the kids in there, but I saw it, but I didn't get a really great look at it. But there's lots of pictures up on the walls and everything. It's a museum, so you can see what the things look like and then at least get a glimpse of it. But the library was, you know, for me, that was just amazing. And you can't go wander in the stacks or anything, but it's, but you're walking through the big hall and the books are on either side. You've seen pictures of it. And because I know you've looked at millions of pictures of libraries, who hasn't? But it's one of the classic, libraries. There it is. Lindsay has a picture.
Yeah.
Our folks back home can't see it. That still doesn't do it justice, though. You have to, like,
no, stand. It doesn't. Yeah. I took a really great picture of it, though, this time. I'm so happy. I was there with film, because this is back in the prehistoric ages when I was there last time, and I had just film, so I couldn't tell when I messed up my pictures. So all my pictures were blurry, but this time I got some real clear.
Well, this will tell you kind of where my brain has been for the past 15 years, but I have an image in my mind of the Beauty and the Beast library.
Yes. Yes.
Better. It's better.
Yeah, and older. Like, the Beauty and the Beast library is, like, really
shiny,
palatial. Yeah, this is much more university. This is, like, you can imagine, like, wizards and warlocks in their robes going down. Yeah,
studying for their wizard test exams. And, you know, you can see all these little nooks to sit. And, of course, they're all blocked off because they don't want you in there with your grubby paws touching all these.
Yep. Although, I believe it is a working library. And there were a couple moments. There were a few books that were shelved sideways that I wanted to fix. But that's my old school talking.
So your first stop was Dublin, and you did the Guinness Storehouse, the Book of Kells. What else did you guys do while you were there?
So I wanted to touch on this really quick, because one of the things we did when we designed this tour is we wanted to make it kid-friendly. And Ireland is very kid-friendly. There's a lot of children who live there every day. But it's very easy to get lost in the scenery and the riding the buses and things, and kids only go so far with that. So we were trying to find little things that would spark interest. And one of them was Croke Park. And this is actually, it was really interesting because we put it on the itinerary. I have a friend here in North Carolina who plays Gaelic football, which is very unheard of. It's very unusual. Well, it's not unheard of. It's pretty much the national sport of Ireland. There's very old games. The Gaelic Athletic Association is very old. Hurling and Gaelic football are the two sports. And,
it's much ignored in the U.S.
It's much ignored in the U.S. And most of the people who play it are of Irish descent, or they've moved here from Ireland. Generally, the people who start the teams and associate themselves with the GAA moved from Ireland. They're expats. So, and most of the teams are in Boston and New York and Chicago. Go figure.
Chicago? I didn't think any were that close to where I grew up. I couldn't.
But we have a few here. And so when it came up as an idea, I was like, no, we'd like to do that, because this friend is a mutual friend of some of my clients who were going. And we're like, at least they'll have heard of it. And, you know, we started talking about it. But it's not soccer. It's, you know, it's very different. So I was very hesitant as we, you know, are going over there. I'm like, the kids may be really bored. And as we took the city tour the first day, we had a driver guide with us through the whole trip. But we actually had a guide in Dublin along with our driver guide. And she asked me, she didn't go with us to Croke Park. She left us just before then, but she asked me, she said, who chose to go to Croke Park? And I said, well, it was a group effort. She said, well, it's an inspired choice. She said, I've been doing this for many, many, many years, and I have only seen two groups go there from the U.S. And she said, it is such a fascinating place, and I think you're going to get so much out of it. And I will say, and Lindsay, you could differ with me on this, because, you know, Lindsay was there without children, but for me, it was like one of the most Irish things we did, probably.
Yeah. I really was very fascinated about the community of the sport. I mean, I used to be involved with roller derby, and I liked that kind of small town culture where your team is really connected to the local area, and the fact that they are born and raised, that's where you play for your life. You are, you know, wherever you were born and or raised, that's and the pride and the sense of community that it inspires, and how close they're able to be, and the fact that they don't play for money or for fame, and these are all local guys who, you know, work their 9 to to five and go travel on their own time and their own dime to play these games. It was really fascinating to me. I really fell in love with that aspect of the sport. And yeah, I don't have children, but I did enjoy trying to see how high up I could jump and finding out that it's really good I didn't pick that career path in my life.
They have an interactive area where you can, you know, you can practice passing the ball and everything. And and you can practice with a hurling stick, which I think they described hurling as a cross between hockey and second degree murder. And that is not inaccurate. Let me tell you, we didn't get to see anybody play live, but that weekend we watched on television, and it is a dangerous sport. It's amazing. And they, you know, no pads and none of that, like, sissy stuff. Huge field. And this is a stadium that, I mean, this is, again, remember, this is amateur. These guys don't get paid to play. Now, keep in mind, they have lots of sponsorships and things like this, and this is definitely a well-loved sport. Mm-hmm. But this is an amateur sport. This stadium rivals, like, the Ohio State Stadium. It's, wow, it's amazingly huge. And probably any stadium in Pittsburgh that you can name, this one's better.
Field?
No, this one's PNC better. Park? Better. This one's better. So, in fact, we were sitting in like the green room / lounge where the teams will go, and U2 had just played a concert there.
Oh, wow.
Like a few days before.
How cool.
And I'm like, am I sitting where Bono is sitting? And he's like, maybe. I'm like, we're just going to say that I'm sitting where Bono is sitting. So
school across from St. Pat's where Bono went.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Our guide is very much a Bono fan. So nice. She was playing. But yeah, so I would say if you're going to Dublin and you're looking for something different to do that is very, 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 very Irish, other than drink, then then Croke Park should be up there. And they have not only their regular tours that you can join in, but they also have it's not a zip line tour. You basically can, it's very high up the stadium. I mean, imagine Heinz Field or anything like that. You can actually, they'll harness you and you can walk along the top of it.
Holy cow.
And get this beautiful view. We didn't do that because, you know, I have one child that would have been like, nope, 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 nope. So we didn't do that. But there was a school group there that was, you know, they came walking by in their harnesses. I'm like, are they going to zip line? And he explained what they were doing. So they have a couple of different, you know, depending on how adventurous you are.
Yeah.
A couple of different tours.
That's cool.
Well, and that's kind of, you know, every kid, you know, whenever you go to a historical place or something or take a child to a fort, I mean, it's always what they want to do is walk on the top. Mm-hmm. So that makes it cool in itself that it's legal for them to, you know, and there's a way for them to do it. That's a nice, you know, kind of adventure-y thing to hold out to them.
Yeah.
Well, that would be definitely my children.
Awesome. Can I mention what I did on my first day with Obi?
Sure.
It wasn't officially part of our tour, but the Epic.
Go ahead.
If you're going to Ireland, there's this awesome, it's Irish Immigration Museum, and it just opened recently. It's extremely high tech. It's a very in-depth dive into where everyone went when they left Ireland.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, they have these interactive maps that are going right when you, they're digital maps, and you just see almost every country in the world has Irish immigrants that went there. And it was so fantastic. And it's connected to another building that's right part of it. And it's called the Irish Heritage, Irish Heritage Foundation, and you can pay to have spend an hour or two with a researcher and look up your Irish roots. And so I took a gentleman in to do that, and then I went into the Epic Museum, and you get a passport, and if you have kids, all the exhibits were interactive, and there was an actual table about sports where you had to kind of play with pucks and things on the table and turn them to get these digital images to come to life and talk about rugby and about
hurling.
Really cool stuff. Yeah.
Now, does it work backwards where you find out if you have a family that you want to go look up that you can actually find out where they're from in Ireland?
Yeah, they will get you started and point you on your way. He did a really in-depth deep dive, and he had done a little bit of research on his own, but it's not a prerequisite. And I think with the amount of money he paid, I think it was like $40, he got a 1-month subscription to one of those online, not Ancestors, but something like that, that was specifically for Ireland. And the biggest thing is they put you in connection with all the resources you need to go further and look into your history. But for me, I know my ancestors are from somewhere around there, but I just didn't, I don't know enough about my family history to do that. Maybe next trip. but I was so fascinated with Epic and hearing the stories. And of course they had, again, it was actors, you know, who were doing the videos and the live paintings and things about the history of, and they're just telling some of the more famous stories of Irish immigrants and what happened to them and where they went. And it was just, it was really, really neat. And it's definitely something I could see kids loving to do. It was, all the kids I saw, and they were having a great time, so.
That's cool.
So you guys went to Dublin first?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like there's tons to do in Dublin, which is really cool.
There's so much to do in Dublin. There are so many tours and so many things.
And what was your next stop?
So we went from there out to Tralee, which was sort of, that was really just where we slept. So we didn't spend a lot of time. We ate and slept there. But along the way, we saw the Rock of Cashel, which is, for lack of a better word, a castle / monastery. I'm still learning a little bit about Irish history and how those two things are very much interrelated, but probably more a monastery than a castle. But and it's up on a rock, and you've seen pictures of it. It's really quite impressive, and it's sort of that classic, I want to go see an Irish castle thing. That's where you want to go. We also went to Blarney Castle, and I have to say, Blarney Castle, I've been told, it's like 2 hours and done. I disagree. It's very quick to, you know, you climb up a million stairs, you kiss the stone, you come back down again. And that was fascinating. And I actually kissed the stone, even though I said I wasn't going to, and I still feel like I'm just waiting for my face to rot off, but I did it. Because once you get up there, I went up there to be, you know, a good sport, and I wanted to see the view. And then once you get up there, you're like, well, I might as well, you know, and they're pushing you through so fast that, it's definitely all business up there. Because you have to lay down on your back and flip under, and it's challenging. And then you walk back down. And after that, there's a poison garden to walk through, which is fascinating. The grounds there include the Seven Sisters, which are some standing stones that were there before the castle was built. And there's a fascinating legend with the king came back from battle having lost his two sons, and he had seven children total. So he knocked down two of the stones to signify his fallen children. Very quiet, beautiful place. There's a little garden back there with like a witch's stone that actually looks like a witch's head and a witch's cave. And it's sort of a magical, like, get as close to the fairies as you can get kind of place. And we felt really rushed, and we had about 2.5 hours there, and we were like, and we still don't have time to shop. You know, we sort of had to choose whether to go tour the grounds or to go shopping. And, for some of us, that was a harder choice than others, but, I definitely would say give yourself a little bit more time there than you expect, to need. And then we did the Ring of Kerry, which is a scenic drive. The kids, tolerated it, but we got very lucky that day. We had beautiful clear weather and just had these amazing views. Your mileage may vary, but apparently the day after, our driver guide was talking to another, you know, they're a small community there, and he was talking to another guide who took a group the day after, and he said that the fog was so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we got really, really lucky. So there you go. Travel with Outlander Travel.
You'll get lucky because Elizabeth will kiss the Blarney Stone.
It was amazing.
Did you say
Dublin? Storytelling.
At
Ireland's, well, one of Ireland's, well, I think it's Dublin's oldest pub is the Brazen Head.
Mm-hmm.
But that was incredible. It was so good I bought his CD. Sorry, I listened twice.
We did a special group event where you can listen to a storyteller, and he was telling us legends of the fairies, and it was fascinating, really. And it was sort of in between your courses. So you'd eat a little bit, and then you get a little bit of a story. Then you eat a little bit, you get a little bit of a story, so...
That's cool.
And I have to say, listening to the kids sing that song for the rest of the trip, so cool.
Yes.
That they just picked up on it, and it must have really resonated with them, because every day after that, you'd hear at least once a day, one of them would be singing.
Yep. Which always, that makes me happy, because I know they were paying attention. You never know if they're bored or not, but they definitely were spellbound by that. So
don't be afraid. Don't have children to go on a tour with kids, because you can still enjoy other people's children.
Yes. I'm a firm believer in that. I feel like seeing things through a child's eyes is always...
I think people know if they will enjoy other people's children or not.
Yes. That is true. That is true.
It depends on the people's children.
Yes. Well, but our children are absolutely delightful.
Yeah, everyone enjoys my children. They're awesome.
So after that, just to rush through because we're running out of time, we actually, we went to the Cliffs of Moher, which again, we got really, really lucky and had a beautiful day. And if you don't know what the Cliffs of Moher are, then you do, because if you've seen Harry Potter, I think it's the sixth movie.
Have you seen The Princess Bride?
And then, yeah, so that was actually, I was going to say that next. We actually, as we're walking up to it, my husband must have said, "See the Cliffs of Insanity," like 80 million times, because those are the Cliffs of Insanity. So yeah, to the point where the kids were saying it, I was like, "You guys don't shut up about the stupid Cliffs of Insanity."
And everyone else on the tour is like, "These children."
It was my husband. It was my husband the whole time. So that is truly a beautiful place and amazing and actually dangerous because there's not a lot of railings and that is a very, it's notorious.
So is it the Harry Potter where they go into the cave? Mm-hmm.
The Horcrux. Yes, that's the one. Cool. Yeah. So, and you can see the hole there and obviously they didn't actually sail into it. It's all, you know, but the, that's the actual like picture that they used and then they like superimposed. So, and
did
several
you go
movies
to the Luke Skywalker Island?
No, but we could see it. We saw it.
Did you know?
Yeah. Okay. You can't actually go to it. That's on the Ring of Kerry tour. You see it. And, as you're doing the circuit, it's a UNESCO site, but it's access. Well, there was a monastery on it for many, many years. And like the monks couldn't even get on and off of it very often because it's so it depended on the weather. So they had to really be prepared to be there for a while because they couldn't get off and on it. So really the only way to get there is by helicopter, you know, and Steven Spielberg budget and George Lucas budget. Yeah, that's really how you get there.
Wow.
We really did have an unusually large amount of great weather. Mm-hmm. I got sunburned in Ireland.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We just had a little bit of rain on the last day, and we actually joked about it. We're like, oh gosh, rain. And none of us had our rain jackets because we hadn't needed them the whole week. So yeah, and then I wanted to talk a little bit about Bunratty Castle because to me this was a highlight as well. Which Bunratty Castle is like, there's a castle on the grounds, but it's a park and it's actually sort of set up like a turn of the century, meaning 1900s, a little bit before 1900s, village, would you say, Lindsay? With examples. Go ahead.
They have, I didn't see any this time when I was there, but they usually have like demonstrations of people out doing things like the blacksmith out or the baker or, the weaver. Out doing things. So it's actually, it's a recreation.
Yep.
It's another one of those places, go for the whole entire day.
Yes.
Cause you're going to want, especially if you have kids, there was, the falconry, the guy that was out with the eagle and the owls. Did your kids see that?
Mine didn't, but my friends did. And he got a picture with the owl on him. We were too busy like having a beer. We didn't realize the kids were on the playground playing. Yeah.
I stood in line with a bunch of little kids to let my inner 6-year-old get a picture with an eagle.
I totally would. I would have loved to have gotten a picture with an owl. Yeah. Yeah.
It was so amazing. And to see the animals and the, and kind of how, what life was like back then I think it's a really unique thing. And it's definitely one of those things you have to do when you go to Ireland.
We went into like what was considered to be a middle class farm. And there was a lady in there making scones. So, you know, she's actually baking. And there was an actor playing a doctor in the surgery. And he talked mostly about the antiques in the room, actually. But, they seemed to get a lot of retired people. There was a music shop and they had old style instruments that you could play and you could buy and take home. I think somebody in the group took home a tambourine.
They had a pottery, artist pottery.
Yep.
Were they selling the scones?
Probably somewhere.
Yeah, there was a big, there was a restaurant where you go in and have tea and brush scones. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have time.
Right.
That was one of my regrets.
That's right.
Not having it.
Yep. They had a schoolhouse set up and there was a teacher in there, you know, talking about what school was like. And one of the kids in the group got bitten by a horse. So, which is funny now. She didn't think it was so funny at the time, but it's hilarious now. And it's interesting because my husband walked up and he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "She got bit by a horse." And he got this look on his face. I was like, "Don't laugh." And you could tell he was like doing everything he could not to laugh. But the horse is used to being fed and apparently was disappointed that she did not have an apple. So
she's just trying to pet his little
thing. Yeah, and he just took a chunk out of her leg. Didn't take a chunk out, but
out of her leg.
She had a bruise. Yeah, he reached down and just Yeah, took a bite. So she's fine.
There's to always carry carrots and apples.
Sugar cubes or, yeah.
Yes, but, you know, these animals are...
Save yourself some pain.
And then, of course, they all run up to the pigs, and they're like, look, pigs, I want to pet the pigs. I'm like, don't pet the pigs. Pigs bite. Pigs bite as bad as horses do.
I ran into the kids not too long after that over by the chickens, and they were flying, and they're like, oh, no, Lord, the chickens...
The chicken will mess you up.
Chickens can be
But at the end of the day at Bunratty, there's a medieval banquet, which I wasn't sure if it was going to be cheesy or the best thing I've ever done. And it turned out to be the best thing. It was so much fun. It was
so worth the money. And I'm so glad we did it, because that's something I passed up on my last trip, because I thought it was going to be cheesy.
Yeah.
I thought, I'd rather spend more time doing something else. And so... But yeah, I'm so glad we did it.
How long were you guys there
at Bunratty? I want to say we got there around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Am I remembering that right, Lindsay? It was like early afternoon. And then the banquet started at 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like. We had to get our tickets at 5:15, if I remember correctly.
If I could do it again, I would go earlier because the castle does close earlier during the day, some days of the week, and then you can't walk up all those tiny little stairs and see all the really cool rooms in the castle. I mean, we got to see some of the rooms, but the last time I was there, I spent all of my time in the castle.
Yeah.
Touring.
But it's, you know, think about sort of, I don't know, a mystery dinner where you've got actors who, sort of mingle with you, but then they're definitely in character. They're in costume. You have a harpist and a violinist, and they sing like chamber music. And it was interesting because they did a couple pub songs, and they did, you know, more, some older sort of
traditional
songs as well. All very, very talented. And they were also your wait staff. So, you know, this is an equity gig. They had multiple jobs, but, and the food, that was the other thing. I'm like, we're going to go to this thing, and it's going to be like medieval times where they give you this overcooked rib and a corn cob.
They're full of a turkey leg because I can't stand them at Disney, and that's what I thought. We were going to get a turkey leg, and it was going to be disgusting, but it was really good. The food was really, really good. Oh, and that's another place where they bent over backwards for Obi. Mm-hmm. And not only did they bend over backwards to make sure that he had a place and that he was comfortable and didn't have to go up the stairs and made sure he got his drink, they had like the prettiest girl sitting with him. And he got his picture with her and he got to sit with her. And I was worried about him feeling, you know, that he wasn't going to get the full experience. I think he got a better experience than we did.
Just fine. He missed because the pre-show is actually upstairs. And when we say upstairs, we're talking castle stairs, like way up and one way down.
I was looking at that girl. He didn't miss nothing.
No, he didn't miss anything. I mean, they provide, so you get up the stairs and they give you a glass of mead, a cup of mead, I should say, in these like old fashioned, it's so awesome. And the mead was really good too. It wasn't overly sweet. It was really good mead. And then,
M-E-A-T?
M-E-A-D, no. Honey wine.
M-E-A-D.
Yeah, D. Mead.
It's honey bark wine.
It's a honey wine.
It's barley wine that's made out of honey.
Did you buy any while we were there, Elizabeth?
No, because I'm...
That was my one purchase last time I went, and I'm going to crack it open.
So I did buy a crystal bowl, actually, at Bunratty. So, because, you know, crystal is a big thing in Ireland. And so it's actually kind of Greek style, but anyway. It's got apples in it right now. I'm looking at it. But the soup was really good. They gave us like a leek soup that was delicious. And then the meat, it was chicken and potatoes. I mean, it was really, really good. And there was wine on the table, which surprised my daughter because the jugs all looked the same. So she thought it was water and she poured a glass of what turned out to be white wine and she took a slug and she was like, that is not water. So we removed it from her possession. And actually, I believe one of my friends took one for the team and drained the cup because you only had one cup. So she threw that back so that she could put water. And I think actually put a little water in there and rinsed it and threw that back as well.
Was it Alice?
So I'm not going to name names, but it might rhyme with Macron. So,
But whoever came up with the idea to mix the juice with the wine was genius.
That was, you guys were... There was some sangria going on at our table. It was Irish Mexican, but, and it was, you know, great, like, banquet style table and, you know, very family style. It was really, really fun. So I definitely, if you think that it might be cheesy, do it anyway, because it really was, a highlight.
And did your kids enjoy it? Yes. Enjoy the food and everything?
And enjoyed the singing and enjoyed the whole concept. And they pick a lord, and at some point he has to arrest somebody. And then that person has to, so we actually sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I won't give away the whole story, but we ended up as a group singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game to get this guy free. So it was really like it was an all encompassing evening for sure. But, there were like modern restrooms and all of that, you know, the castle had been modernized just enough to be comfortable. But you were still definitely in a castle. I cannot recommend it enough.
That sounds
good. I don't envision Take Me Out to the Ball Game in an Irish pub, but if you say it works, then
it totally works. No, not in an Irish pub, in an Irish castle.
a medieval
Irish castle.
So
I don't know if it was weird or that, or when we were at Sean Ogg's in Tralee when the Irish guy was singing the Hawaiian version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
So I was asleep when that happened.
My biggest regret in life is not audio recording that, because that is the strangest, most entertaining thing I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, I will say that the Dublin and, well, the Irish music scene is exactly what you hear. I mean, there was there was like everything all the time. There were options.
I have to say, though, it's not as trad as I was expecting. I think the last time I went, there was way more traditional music in all the pubs and bars, but I did a lot of pub and bar research on this trip. Even in Tralee, after everyone went to bed, I got invited from one bar when they closed. So in parts of Ireland, when a bar closes, it's not it for the rest for the night. There are other bars that have special licenses that only open up for those last couple hours. And so I got invited in, and at first I didn't know if we were going to be taken somewhere to be kidnapped, or I don't know what was going on, because it was in a bar that was like upstairs and we were following these guys down an alley, and I'm like, I don't know if this is a good idea, but it was like a club and they were playing pop, rap, techno music that was popular for us probably about 5-7 years ago. Like that's kind of like but I heard way more American music in the pubs, in the bars this time than I did last time I was in Ireland.
So, Elizabeth, this was Outlander's, like, 5th anniversary trip. Do we have plans for any other trips in the future? Or?
I would love to do something again. I don't know if it'll be next year. Maybe at year 10, so you guys stick around.
Start saving up.
Yeah. I suspect it'll be Scotland, because this time I got so many, why isn't it Scotland's, that I think maybe next
year. Year 10,
time
I won't have to bring my children, so I could
probably. Yeah, they'll be off. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'll be off. So, it was really fun, and I will say, you know, we took a group, and, you know, as Outlander travel, and anybody could go, but I will say the camaraderie and being with that small group, we had less than 30 people on this trip. And, if you have a group of friends like that, old sorority sisters, or, you know, an old theater group, or anybody that wants to travel together, that was such a great way to travel. We had such great access to things because we were a group. So even at the Guinness Storehouse, yes, we pre-booked, but we also got in through the tour door, and we saw the line for like the normal people, single person line. We went right in and right upstairs and started our tour. It was wonderful. And like the Croke Park thing, it was doable because we were already a group. It was so easy to have it arranged and done. So that's something that we can do for you. So if you have a group of friends who want to go do something, it's totally doable. And it was affordable. It was as much as any other escorted tour that's out there on the market. We had just such a great experience. Our driver was fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. So. I was just going to add to that. Yeah, it was not only it was affordable, but the fact that it was so customizable and still affordable. Mm-hmm. Because I would say that it was better quality, and we got to do a lot more things than other tours that were priced around the same price point for a pre-packaged tour. And they were geared toward what what the group wanted. So that was really made the difference. So why not? Why travel with a bunch of strangers and you can travel with some people you know or some people you like to get to know better?
Yeah. And he could, like, if somebody had to go to the bathroom, he could make an arrangement to stop. It was, you know, you had a lot more power on that. He stopped and showed us a fairy tree because we were really, really curious about these fairy trees that we'd heard about that can't be cut down because bad things happen. So he stopped on a highway. He, like, stopped us on a bridge. He knew of a place where we could stop safely and we could see, we didn't get out, but we could see this tree that had been, that the highway has been built around so as not to disturb the fairies.
When we drove through County Kerry, through the where the Puck Fair is, mm-hmm. where the oldest fair is, and he was telling us about the goat in the middle of the town, and the, mm-hmm. I don't know, it was so neat to get all the backstories, and it's what I love about tours like that, because then you find, I picked up a bunch of things for the next time I'm there. I want to go explore things a little deeper.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode. Really. To leave comments, visit us on outlandertravel.com. Excuse me. Then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Donna, Lindsay, and myself, Aura, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel. And we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!